I'm baffled by the uneven measurement. As appears to be everybody here. Uneven measurement. What I was looking for in terms of estimation or a way of approximating something is a rule of thumb. A rule of thumb. This was a lot of fun to do. We'll get you the answer to uneven measurement as soon as we can. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUCFM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio. Eyeball was what Aline had in mind as a measurement, an eyeball. And that's sort of in the same category as rule of thumb. So glad we could do this together. Rhonda Vincent now. And then the beginning of our Youth Express Hour.
Tonight I'm gonna break away. Just you wait and see. I'll never be imprisoned by a faded memory. Just when I think I'm over him, this broken heart will mend. I hear his name and I have to cry.
Song made famous by Poco, done there by Rhonda Vincent at the Saturday Light Brigade. I need to acknowledge a few answers that have come in. Uneven measurement is cockeyed. And Aline, that's the answer she had in mind, but eyeballed came in as well. Rich in Edinburgh said, If you're not very smart, they might call you a knucklehead. That's a good one. Trisha and Randy and Polly also had cockeyed. That's for an uneven measurement. Cross-eyed also came in from Patrick in South Park. Thank you for playing along. That was a lot of fun. And please stick around for this hour because you're going to hear from a very talented singer-songwriter who joins us next, as well as somebody who's been working hard to do good things for other people.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
A lot of fun, and thank you for playing along together. Lots of puzzles this morning. And we appreciate your interaction. Now, another chance for you to get involved, and that is if you'll please lend us your ears. You're about to hear some great songs. Olive Kramer was here as part of our Rhyme and Reason summer camp. She's a 10th grader at Lincoln Park Performing Arts Charter School and is from Allison Park. She's going to do several songs. We'll listen to the first one, and then we'll chat. Here is Olive Kramer.
I fought this for years now. There will be no change, and I'm not sticking around. Ashamed to have anything to do. You'll be estranged. Estranged from my life. You said you're for me, but guess what? You're not mine, not when I have dreams. And I wish I could get out of here sooner. My back's by the door, but no one called the Uber. My plan is on stall, and it's okay. To feel. It's not just him I'm leaving, it's you. I fought this for years now. There will be no change, and I'm not sticking around. Ashamed to have anything to do. And you'll be estranged. And I wish I could get out of here sooner. My back's by the door, but no one called the Uber. My plan is on stall, but it's okay. You said you're for me, but guess what? You're not mine, not when I have dreams.
Olive Kramer, that's a really nice song. What's it called? And tell me a little bit about it.
It's called Estranged, and it's the first song on my album that's going to be coming out next month. The album's also called Estranged. And the song's sort of about my sort of take on how people are feeling, not necessarily how I'm feeling about the country, but how other people are, and kind of how people want to be angry about it. And I don't want to be angry because I don't like feeling angry.
I think that's a great observation. Most people, there probably are people that like to feel angry, although I would hope most people don't want to feel angry. So it's hard because that might push you towards feeling estranged or, as you said, or just feeling sort of like you want to drop out, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
When did you write that? Pretty recently?
Yeah, I think I wrote it maybe towards the end of last month.
Tell me how you became a singer and songwriter. You have a beautiful voice. You're playing guitar very beautifully as well, but your lyrics are really something, and I'm curious how you developed all of this.
Yeah, so when I was in, I've been playing music all my life, like writing little lips on piano. I never really picked up guitar or started writing lyrics until I was maybe 11, where I started playing piano and writing lyrics. And I was just like, oh yeah, this is where I'm going to start building everything. And I guess that was the case, but then I just kind of stopped doing it for a little bit. And then when I was 13, I started picking up guitar, and I was like, oh, maybe I can start writing lyrics too. And when I was 11, I had just started writing in a journal, and that was helping me get out emotions and like also building writing skills as well. And then sort of when I was 13, that's when I started my, like, I guess I could call it my catalog of songs, because I have like all of them listed out. I've got like about 100.
Wow, you've written 100 songs. That's amazing. I mean, you're 15 now, right?
Yes.
So that's
a couple years.
Not the quantity is what it's all about, but
yes, definitely. Yeah.
It probably, I've never actually talked with a songwriter about this, but if you're goal is to have, you know, really, really, really good songs, you probably write a lot of songs so that a few of them will be really good, or they're going to be for different occasions.
Yeah. And they weren't good at the beginning, or I thought they were good at the time, but now I look back at them and I was just like, no. But like,
do you work on them again?
No, usually when I write a song, I don't spend a lot of time on it. I just kind of abandon it, and if I abandon it, then I can't pick it back up again. But there's this one song that I wrote when I was maybe 13, and I think it had a really good melody and just like a good chord progression. The lyrics I'm not too fond of, and when I recorded it back then, I did a bad job because I wasn't good at recording. But I would definitely consider revisiting that one, maybe rewriting lyrics, re-recording it.
But for the most part, once you've finalized and cataloged the song for the first time, you wash your hands of it and go on to something new.
Mm-hmm.
That's I think that's a very hard thing to do, to let go and let it be and to move on. D- it doesn't sound to me like you find that difficult, though.
No, not really. I kind of consider each of my songs like little bubbles of myself that I'm just kind of releasing into the world.
Very interesting way of looking at songwriting. You have, this is Olive Kramer, and if you go to Olive Kramer, CRAMER.bandcamp.com, you'll be able to see some of her music and listen to it. The album is called Estranged, and November 1st at 5 o'clock at that same Bandcamp page, there's going to be an online listening party where you can listen and chat and enjoy that album November 1st at 5 o'clock. You have to be excited about that coming through. How many songs are on the release?
There are just 10 songs on that album.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Would you like to do another? Is that one of them?
Yeah, that's the first song on the album.
And what would you like to do next?
I will be playing another song called Hiding in the Tenderloin, and it is also on that album.
Here again is Olive Kramer.
Place where all the queens gathered in the night. They had to hide. Their very existence was a crime. They danced in sequence and fluorescent lights, and all was peaceful till they put up a fight. When the glass was shattered, your heels. Don't they know you were never just pretending? Some think you come from Demon X, but hey, I think you're really cool. You're all so beautiful. When you dance in sequence and fluorescent lights, all was peaceful till they put up a fight. But was that really necessary? Tenderloin was a place where all the queens gathered in the night. They had to hide. Their very existence was a crime. They danced in sequence and fluorescent lights, and all was peaceful till they put up a fight. But was that
is Olive Kramer, and I put a picture of her along with a link to the Bandcamp site on our Facebook page. You can also already find it on our website at slbradio.org, or you can go there directly. It's simply olivekramer.bandcamp.com. The release party for her upcoming album called Estranged, is that, do I have the title
yes.
right? Is coming up on November 1st at 5 o'clock. Do you have anybody you might want to acknowledge that's helped you along the way?
I would like to acknowledge my dad, because he was the one who like to do stuff on GarageBand and write
few songs, and I was just like, oh, that sounds cool, because I've always kind of been like, oh, I want to do what my dad's doing. And also my mom for helping, I guess, spread the word about my songs. She has a social media for me that I don't access, but she puts stuff on there that I want her to put on. Also, my two little sisters, Marlo and Tulpin. Marlo, she doesn't like music. She likes to dance, but she's kind of inspired me and helped kind of keep me going through all of it, and so has Tulpin.
How old are they?
Marlo is 12, and Tulpin is going to be 9 in a few days.
That's great. They probably admire you, and it sounds like they have their own creative sparks.
Yeah, they do.
Are different than yours. Have you played out much?
I've been trying to. I've been trying to find opportunities to, and I've been doing that mostly at SLB.
Yeah, you've been here. Yeah. I saw you during one of our open mics.
Yes,
not too
I was
long
at
ago.
One of the open mics, and I'm not usually able to come to open mics, so that was one of the rare times that I could actually make it because my school's really far away.
Yeah, at Lincoln Park. Even though you're in Allison Park, Lincoln Park is out in Baden, so that can be quite a distance. Well, it's been really, we do have time for one more song. It's
okay,
been
perfect.
Great listening to you. Is there anything else? Well, I have one other question is, for somebody, and it could be somebody younger than you or your own age or even somebody that, you know, is an adult wanting to begin songwriting and honest songwriting as you're doing, what would your advice be?
My advice would be, I always give this advice to people, write in a journal, and everyone's just like, oh, I've tried writing in a journal and I've just never been able to keep it going. You have to keep it going and just write all the time, because that's what you do with your lyrics. That's how you make your lyrics pretty good. Basically, just do it a lot. And also write bad songs, because that's how you write good songs. And I guess they're not going to be good at first. Mine weren't, and usually people's aren't amazing at first. But if you keep going and if you've got the drive, then they will become good. You just have to stick it out for a couple years.
That's excellent advice, and it sounds to me like it's a process. You just have to make sure you follow that process of writing, of not only writing when you think you've got something to write about, but just writing all the time.
Yeah, and lots of my songs aren't necessarily really about anything. I just like write whatever comes into my mind. Cause sometimes I get like a little bit of writer's block because I'm like, oh, I don't know what to write about. And just like write words, okay?
Very good advice. My other question to you was, is there anything else you'd like to say before your last song?
Yes, this last song, it's about this last song. I'm playing it because my friend really wanted me to play it because he really likes the song. I played it at Rhyme and Reason, and since then he has been pestering me to play it a lot. So it is not off of my new album. It is off of a recent EP, and it's called Mirabelle.
Here again with a special request, Olive Kramer.
That's to your grace, Mirabelle.
bow. You didn't know me till I walked in the room, but I was always there. We just never locked eyes, but you'll never know. I was that one kid who spilled ginger ale on your carpet. Each strand of her hair. Mirabelle could use her singing soft as bait, and I'm caught on the line like just another fish in the lake. I'm caught on the line. Even though this is not a love song, thinks I hung the moon. Oh well, I guess you'll never know the truth, that I'm lower than hell. And she's heaven just until we meet in the middle. And mind you, this is not a love song.
Olive Kramer, thank you. I hope we'll see you again at an open mic or here on the radio. Thanks for being with us.
Was it the year marriage?
So poor a cup, good years still ahead, and money enough. Now the hard days of children and jealous mistrust are over. At a place by the ocean in Monterey, we smiled at young couples, they looked away. If they're lucky like us, maybe they'll pick a 30-leaf clover. Some things still sizzling, some things still hidden. I never thought it would end, and it didn't. We didn't fall out of love. We fell into rhythm. From the first night we thoughtlessly fell in bed. When was it your first thought to look ahead? Like me, did you see yourself hold on, wanted and lonesome? Did you look at my father and stop to think, like him I'd give in to disappointment and drink? Did you jump in the river blind or with half an eye open? Some things we tried mapping, most things just happened. Down payments and upkeep, not enough sleep, and 30 years on, it's all overlapping. In a 30-year marriage, you start to find sense being inside another, and sometimes against accepting indulgences you were never meant to be given. And the nightmares of one keep the other awake, and the failures of either are unauthored mistakes. And now a stray thought tumbles out too late, you find it's forbidden.
a 30-year marriage, so raise a glass. Now a change in the other is too much to ask. The time to slip off the chains of the past is over. And we look at these couples and inwardly laugh. No path stands before you. No path. No path. Look at us, we're what you hope for.
Robbie Faulks with a really well-crafted song. It's called The 30-Year Marriage, and it's from his album, Now Then. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, Alexa Busick, Grace Anderson, and Ellis Dorham, and Todd Trosky. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Sometimes when I go out to play and things just don't seem to go my way, I take a tumble and I might fall down. That kind of rumble can make me frown. And when I'm down and on my knees, I want my mommy to help me, please. And she comes by with her loving hands and picks me up and helps me stand.
Ah, and she says,
pick yourself up and dust yourself off, start walking and count to ten.
Pick yourself up and dust yourself off, feel better once again. Pick yourself up and dust yourself off, start walking and count to ten. Pick yourself up and dust yourself off, feel better once again. And when I play outside my house, running games like cat and mouse, and skip, skedaddle, twirl and jump, I might fall down with a bump. And when I'm down and on my knees, I want my daddy to help me, please. And he comes by with his loving hands and picks me up and helps me stand.
Ah,
and he says,
pick yourself up and dust yourself off, start walking, count to ten. Pick yourself up and dust yourself off, feel better once again.
Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start walking and count to ten. Pick yourself up and dust yourself off, feel better once again.
And sometimes in my yard at home, I like to play there all alone. I'll sing and dance, skip and hop. I might fall down with a plop.
Boink.
And when I do, I'm quite surprised. I hold my breath and then shut my eyes.
Blink.
And remember, mommy and daddy's hands that pick me up and help me stand. And I say to myself,
pick myself up and dust myself off, start walking and count to ten. Pick myself up and dust myself off, feel better once again. Ooh-hoo. Pick myself up, dust myself off, start walking and count to ten. Pick myself up and dust myself off, feel better once again. Ooh-hoo. Pick myself up, dust myself off, start walking and count to ten.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, feel better again.
Ooh-hoo. Pick myself up, dust myself off, start walking and count to ten. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Alex, Ben, and Company. here at the Saturday Light Brigade. In just a couple of moments, as part of our Youth Express Hour, Zora Rose is going to join us. Now I know why I recognize Zora's name. Zora was a Remake Learning Days Youth Ambassador, a program that we manage and lead for Remake Learning Days. She's also a 10th grader at Pittsburgh Kappa, and she's been doing some work in support of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and we're going to talk about that work momentarily here at the Saturday Light Brigade.
The Northside Chronicle joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The Northside Chronicle is a nonprofit community newspaper available in print, digital, and mobile formats. The Northside Chronicle invites the community to Northside Sandwich Week on October 27th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Priory. The evening will feature sandwiches from local businesses, and proceeds will support the Northside Chronicle in its ongoing mission to provide hyper-local coverage of the people, places, and events in the 18 Northside neighborhoods of Pittsburgh. More information on Northside Sandwich Week is available at NorthsideSandwichWeek.com.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible with support from individual donors who believe that our original public radio programming and innovative youth media programs make a difference in daily life and our community. Join in on the fun and support SLB during Cartober, a special campaign where individuals can donate a used vehicle, running or not, to SLB. Cars, trucks, RVs, boats, and more are eligible, and our partners will take care of pickup and all of the paperwork. For more information, call 1-855-500-RIDE or visit slbradio.careasy.org.
We hope you'll take part in Cartober. Just go to slbradio.careasy for more information. That's slbradio.careasy.com. I had to make sure I got that extension right. As I have been talking with Zora a little bit, I try to wait for certain things until we... Oh, it's slbradio.careasy.org. You'd think I'd know that after all these years. I'm talking with Zora, and I said, oh, wait a minute. Your mom is Therese, and that means your grandma is Cheryl. I've known your grandmother for a long time. She ought to come out of her shell more, your grandma. But this is all about you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you like to do, and just in general, Zora Rose, what your life's like, and, you know, things you enjoy? Mm-hmm.
So my name is Zora. I'm an only child, and I'm a musical theater major at Pittsburgh Kappa, so I really enjoy theater. I've been doing that for a very long time. I've been interested in it since I was in elementary school. I also love watching TV. I watch a lot of TV shows. I also enjoy, like, helping other people. I mean, I'm involved in student council at my school and student resources, so that's something that I enjoy doing as well. Other than that, I'm also in my school's BSU, so I'm very involved in making sure that people of all backgrounds at my school feel safe and involved, and I like hanging out with my friends too. I mean, I think it's always good to hang out with your friends and have some good social time outside of school.
I'm not surprised because your mom and grandma are so community connected and care so much about the quality of life of other people and making good things happen. I didn't know about your musical theater interest. And have you been on stage much?
Yeah. So Pittsburgh Public Theater is kind of where I would say I got my big start to theater. When I was in elementary school, I did their Shakespeare contest, which is a very good contest. And I think I won when I was in fourth grade. And so ever since then, I've come back and I've done, they did like a virtual play during COVID. I did that. And then I was in their original production of A Christmas Story a while back, and I did that for about 2 years. And then I've done plays and stuff at my school. We recently did our Black History play, and that was really cool to be a part of. And also, Pittsburgh Public Theater actually did, like, an August Wilson Legacy Fund internship over the summer, which I was a part of, which is really cool because I got to mix my background of theater with, like, the behind the scenes as well.
Wow. So. It sounds like when you see opportunities, you love to take them and get involved. Now, you're here today to talk about your work in support of Make-A-Wish, and I'm curious to learn about it. Tell me what you did and just sort of the whole story.
Yes. So I'm a part of the Make-A-Wish Greater PA and West Virginia Youth Leadership Council. So there are about 50 students involved, and we come together to fundraise for Make-A-Wish. So each student has a goal of raising $1,000 for Make-A-Wish for an overall goal of $50,000. And our money that we fundraise goes towards the efforts to make wishes happen for kids with critical illnesses in our communities.
What prompted you to get involved?
Mm-hmm. So, like I said before, I was always interested in helping, like, kind of others, and I got the opportunity because of my school. They sent an email, and I was looking at it, I was like, wow, this actually seems really, really cool, because not only would I be able to help others, I'd also be able to collaborate with other peers my age who are interested in doing the same thing. And I thought that was really nice. And I'm also learning about philanthropy and fundraising, because there is a lot that goes into, you know, raising money. It's not just like, oh, do you want money? I mean, there are a lot of different events and just teamwork that goes into it.
I'm curious how you view raising money now compared with what you thought it might be like before you started this program, because I suspect you've learned some secrets and just some ways to be effective at doing it.
Yes. So before I joined the council, when I thought of, I guess, raising money, I just maybe thought of being like asking my family mostly and just being like, oh, will you help me? Because that's kind of how I fundraised for my trips. My school trips that I would do before. But after joining the council, I realized that social media is also a very good way to promote different fundraisers, and even asking like my mom to promote my fundraiser, and also incorporating like things that you like to do with also fundraising. So bake sales, for example, those are a very good way to raise money. And although I'm not a great baker, I realize that other people were great bakers, and that's how. And also just asking people, like my friends, who I like directly, and explaining to them why like it was important. My first donation actually was my friend, and that made me feel really good, because I had explained to her why it was important that she donated. And instead of just asking my family, I actually branched out and started to ask people who I thought I cared for, and they cared for me and wanted to know if they'd support it.
That's incredible. And it sounds like part of it is being yourself, being persuasive in a positive way to explain what it is you're asking for and why. So is there a particular wish that you know is going to be funded, or is it just to provide money that you know will go towards funding a wish?
So when you initially like raise the money, you don't know which wish it will go towards, but then they do share what wishes like to us have been funded, I guess, by our money. So we don't initially know where it goes, but then we're able to see kids and where they were able to go.
So there's an aspect of faith, and that's where Make-A-Wish Foundation comes in, because they are very good at identifying kids whose wishes would only come true with contributions like the ones that you are raising. And as a worthy organization, you can help convince other people to support them. In addition, how much have you raised so far?
Mm-hmm. So as a group as a whole, we've raised over $10,000, and our funding period has just started about like a month or two ago, so that's really great for us. And me individually, I've raised over $350 so far, but as a whole, it's really great because an average wish costs around $5,000, so we've technically funded about two wishes so far. And 50% of kids wish to like go on trips or like to Florida and theme parks. So that's what it would cost to send like an average family of four to that kind of
area. I was just going to ask you what a typical wish is. What you're doing is amazing. Now, as you've been trained, have you had a chance to meet the other 49 youth mm-hmm. that are on the team? Tell me what that's been like.
So we have in-person meetings and we have virtual meetings. We meet in person once a month. It's been really, really nice. I didn't really know a lot of other kids in the room, but they were all very welcoming. There were some returning students, but what's interesting is that this year the chapter, the Youth Leadership Council, grew like so much. Last year there were about 16 kids and now there's 50, so a lot of people are new, but the returning students have been welcoming, telling people I guess how it kind of works, and it's been very easy for me to get involved in the different like aspects of the council. So there's a Halloween event coming soon that I want to volunteer for. And even though a lot of returning students were going to volunteer for it, I also felt like I could volunteer for it because everyone's so welcoming and nice, and it's very transparent about what's going on.
That's great observations on your part. And I'm not surprised you're interested in musical theater, because you're really good at expressing what it is you're experiencing now, which is somewhat complicated, I think, to get involved in philanthropy. You mentioned earlier that you've learned aspects about philanthropy, mm-hmm. things that are new to you. Are there certain things that you found especially striking in terms of whether it's asking for money or mm-hmm. just how philanthropy works in general?
One thing, I guess, maybe not striking but interesting, or something that I've heard of but never really knew how to do, is like dine-in nights with restaurants.
Huh.
But like a percent of the profit will go towards the fundraiser that you're doing. And someone actually in the council like already did one, and it was very successful. And they're saying how to reach out with different sponsors in order to do that. And that's one aspect that I didn't know about before I joined the council. And now that I know, makes me want to do one in the future. So that's an idea that I actually have later down the line, is for me to reach out so that I can do one and have a percent of the profit for people who come in support of me to go to my fundraiser.
I would never have thought of that. That's mm-hmm. a really good idea. I wouldn't have thought of that as a first thing to do, but that's a way to have fun mm-hmm. and support a good cause at the same time. What is the link where people can go to learn more about mm-hmm. your particular fundraiser?
So there is a my personal fundraising link, but then to learn more about the chapter, it's wish.org/greaterPAWV. That's wish.org/greaterPAWV.
So that's greater than PA, West Virginia, greater PAWV. Wish.org, I'm writing this down, slash greater PAWV. And then I imagine you can see people in various regions or go to their fundraisers from there.
We actually cover over like 50 counties in our one area, which I think is great. And you're able to, if you go on the website, you can see kind of like a map of all the counties that we cover. Yes.
I'm thinking about a lot of things. By the way, this is Zora Rose, who is in 10th grade at Pittsburgh Kappa, lives in Manchester here on the north side, and is 15. I'm thinking about a few things as we talk. Is as a musical theater major, being on stage, you probably are very accustomed to giving of yourself in a performance, but you also clearly care about other people and collaboration. You mentioned your involvement in the Black Student Union at Kappa and other activities. You clearly love service and people. How did that happen? Not everybody sees that ever, let alone at the age you are.
I want to say when I was younger, maybe because I'm an only child, I've always liked reaching out to like other people and creating new friendships. So then after that, I think I like the satisfaction of other people feeling good about themselves. It's like when you feel like you're a part of, and maybe that actually comes from theater, because when I'm a part of something, you get to see the smiles on people's face and everybody's saying they loved it and they love the story. You feel like you were a part of something bigger. Even though you may be like one person, you're someone that makes an impact. And so that's kind of how that translated to actually like helping others, because now I feel like, wow, I mean, I raise money that actually is going towards something that has a direct impact, and someone is able to get a wish based on just me trying to help them.
What a great philosophy you have. Is there anything else you'd like to say that you didn't get a chance to?
Not really. I mean, I just feel like this opportunity has taught me so many new things. I've met so many new people who have just opened my eyes to different ways you can work, not just like from my own perspective of when I initially came into the council, but just seeing how creative and other students were in coming up with ideas to raise money. I just thought was really interesting, and it definitely made me think about pursuing something similar in the future.
Well, it's been really nice to get to know you, and I have a lot of admiration for the work you're doing. You can learn more at wish.org/greaterPAWV. And Zora Rose, thank you so much for being here today.
I remember Tim Harden driving a car fast through the hills of Hollywood. I remember Tim Harden in New Mexico sitting astride a quarter horse looking like a bulldogger. Ready to dog. I remember Tim Harden. If I were a carpenter, you were a lady, marry me anyway. Would you have my baby?
Take a worm, I trade. Would you still find me? Carrying the pots I made, follow close behind me. Giving you my loneliness, please give me your tomorrow. If I were a miller and a mill wheel grinding, would you miss your colored blouse and your soft shoes are shining? Save your love for loneliness. Won't you save my love for sorrow? I've given you my loneliness. Please give me your tomorrow. Travel much poorer than you seem to see me. Could you ever be sure that I could really be me? Save your love for loneliness. Won't you save that love for sorrow? I've given you my loneliness. Please give me your tomorrow. If I were a carpenter, you were a lady. Would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby?
You're feeling down, you can't turn over that big old frown. You hit the rails, that's what you do, and you get yourself a bowl of that Mulligan's stew.
You come on home and your things are outside. Your baby threw you out, you don't know why. I guess love was not so true, so put it in a pot of that Mulligan's stew.
You take your troubles and the problems you had, and you put them in a pot and be oh so glad.
Always different, never twice the same, so grab the bowl right there that's got your name. Yeah, you bring whatever you can to the table. Your friends bring something else. You toss it all in the pot, cook it up, and enjoy each other's company. That's what Mulligan Stew is all about.
You take your troubles and the problems you had, and you put them in a pot and be oh so glad.
Always different, never twice the same. So grab the bowl right there that's got your name.
So take your troubles and your misery.
Spend some time in an old hobo's company.
Whenever life's got you feeling blue, you just stick your spoon right into that Mulligan stew.
Stick your spoon right into that Mulligan stew.
Stick your spoon right into that Mulligan stew.
The Saturday Light Brigade, that is a duo known as Bear and Robert, and Ramblin' Jack Elliott did If I Were a Carpenter. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, where Andy Fite joins us momentarily. Saturday mornings at WRCT, Pittsburgh, WIUP FM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRDP, Apache Junction, Goldfield,